This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's a goal! What a goal! It's absolutely world-class from Marcus Tunde!
Johnson puts it in the air! Aidan Flint wins it!
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes!
Oh, my word!
The Wednesday
way!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. My name's Dan Forge, and tonight we're talking about our upcoming fixture, one of our two away games that we've got left in the season against Blackburn Rovers. Joining me tonight, I've got Ian Herbert from 4,000 Holes Podcast in... That's an intro for you, Ian. I bet you've not had one like that before, have you?
I was going to say, following Adele, hey, on Christmas, it's quite a tall order to follow that, but there we go. I'll give it my best shot.
It's a big ask, Ian. It's a big ask. Now, welcome to the show. We've not had you on before, so my apologies if it all seems a bit 100 mile an hour, but welcome to Hello from the Other Side. This is where we talk about the upcoming fixtures. Talk to me about Blackburn Rovers, because your club, a lot like ours, is as mad as a fish in petrol. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. I mean, we've been moaning about our chairman for about 7 to 8 years now. And your guys in charge are something else, to coin a phrase. So what I want to do, I want to go back through your season, you know, delve into a bit of the history over the last few years of Blackburn Rovers and where we go from there and what your thoughts are for the upcoming game. So I'll tell you what, let's start at the start of this season. So, given the way that Sami Smodic has absolutely been smashing them in, how are you so rubbish? I don't understand.
Let's go straight for the low blow then. Our season, much like our shirts, has been two halves. We were doing very well until the fixture at Hillsborough, frankly. Mm-hmm. So we were discussing before we came on air, I'm a resident of Sheffield, so going to Hillsborough is always one of my treats. And so like we have a few Sheffield-based Rovers fans that meet up in the city centre and then we go down to the game. So it's always a fixture I look forward to. And no difference this time, except you kind of played us off the park, which was not what we expected and certainly not what the doctor ordered. And we sort of thought, well, that's just a blip. You know, we'll get over it. But we never did. And December just sort of like... became the month of absolute turmoil. Basically, there were a number of Yorkshire fixtures in December. So I went to the Huddersfield game on Boxing Day. I went to see us away at Hull. And we were abysmal in all three. I thought, God, I can't leave the house now. There's just too many people out there. And it seemed that the wheels came off and came off spectacularly. Mm-hmm. And it was towards the end of the January window where I think John Dal Thomason basically threw in the towel and sort of said, look, I told you in the summer what you needed. You made some grand excuses and didn't give me what I wanted. I told you in January what I needed. You failed singularly again, and we had the unedifying spectacle of us announcing a signing, only to find out we hadn't registered the player for the third time in 12 months. Well done, Blackburn Rovers. You know,
let's just hit the pause button on that review, because that one obviously pissed us off like you wouldn't believe. So we ended up getting in a. Let's try and work out what happened here. So we ended up getting in a bidding war with yourselves, two clubs that didn't have two that weren't allowed to spend any money. I was going to say two skint clubs, but two clubs that can't really spend any money. We got in a bidding war. He turned up into a hotel in Sheffield. You know, it got
Kenwood Hall.
Yeah, it got put down the road from you. It got circulated around the interwebs. We've signed this guy. We've got a striker. This is great. And then an hour later. We didn't pay for his taxi, apparently. And then an hour later, you've sent a cab. He's turned up at your place. And then there was a deal of something like 4 million on the table. But that was after a loan period or something. I can't understand.
Do you want the full story, the full gory details?
Yeah, so, what is it from your end? Because I can't make a tale of it.
While Donkey Baby was in the air, the Rovers board must have done some cash flow forecasts and sort of said, hang on a minute, we haven't got any money here. We can't buy this guy. Oh, that's a bit of a blow because he's on his way over kind of thing. So as you rightly say, I think we landed at Manchester and then headed for Sheffield on the premise that he talked to Wednesday. While that was happening, we apparently then sort of said, well, we could try and construct a loan deal. We can afford that. So the issue from our perspective is we were selling Adam Wharton to bring in the cash flow to keep the lights on. And there were some last-minute hitches, apparently, with that or about getting the money in. So that literally, the money wasn't in the bank account. So it's a bit like, you know, we needed a payday loan, essentially. So the way that we were going to get around this was we constructed a loan. So we went back to Orlando and said, well, why don't you give us him on loan to the end of the season and then we'll have an option to buy him? And they said, well, we can do that, but the price goes up. Because if he starts banging in like 15 goals between now and the end of the season, you're not having him for 2.5 million kind of thing. So we struck that deal. So he was announced on our social media with the shirt and all the malarkey. And everybody's like toasting themselves, doubles all round and all that sort of stuff. But nobody pressed submit on the...
Sure. Oh, yeah, it was the paperwork nonsense. Register
the signing. So his mother... actually started following us on Twitter and we were DMing her and she was asking us like, where can I buy merchandise from? And we're having a lovely old chat. She was engaging with Rovers supporters. So, oh, she seems lovely. She loves us. We love her. We love Duncan. Some Orlando fans had started to do some research on Rovers and Venkis and they were teasing us. Yeah, my God, yeah, you cocked up last year, didn't you? We did. We didn't register them properly. And then a few hours later, they're going, hang on a minute, you haven't registered Duncan, have you? No, we haven't. So he had to go back to the States. He's been banging the goals in. The one very interesting sideline from our perspective is we've got a lot of new followers from Orlando, and we've started following a lot of fan accounts in Orlando, and we've got a real mutual bond between us. And every time Duncan Maguire is in the player of the match polls for Orlando City, Rovers fans go on there and vote him the winner. I think he would win, frankly, even if he didn't come off the bench or something like that. So it's just been a mad, mad season where we've gone from threatening to burst into the playoffs towards the end of November into, are we going to stay up territory? And I'm not quite sure how that's happened, but it's imploded quite spectacularly.
It's been absolutely insane because, like, you know, I love the idea of you having like a partnership with Orlando. You know what I mean? Like you've
we
got
are twinned
Orlando.
With
Orlando. Yeah, home of you know, Disneyland and
well, we're a Mickey Mouse club, so you know,
well, it's... You know they are that and these jokes are right to themselves. I don't even need to bother. but to twin Orlando with Blackburn is hilarious to me. I've been to Blackburn, you know what I mean? It's
I've been to Orlando on holiday. they have a shopping center, we have a shopping center, you know what can
so samesies right samesies absolutely. So that then went to Bobbins, and then JDT left having not been given the backing that he needed, And there's been a point the last 4 weeks specifically where all of a sudden this relegation dogfight, because props to, and I'm going to include ourselves in that, props to Sheffield Wednesday, Huddersfield, Stoke, Millwall, Birmingham. They've all managed to grab these wins, and Plymouth a little bit. They've all managed to grab these wins that they don't deserve. And it's kind of dragged you into a relegation dogfight. Like you've genuinely been getting pulled in, like sleepwalking, yeah. You know, effectively. Yeah. There must have been a point. At what point did you kind of realise, hang on a minute, we're in bloody trouble here?
I think it was the turn of the year. When it became apparent that the January transfer window wasn't going to deliver what we needed. And then JDT was getting increasingly behaving a bit like a recalcitrant teenager, has to tidy the room, you know, stamping his feet and throwing hissy fits. So his public pronouncements were getting more and more caustic. Mm-hmm. And it became abundantly clear. The catalyst was the Queen's Park Rangers game. Where I sort of like travelled over to Ewood and I was listening to Radio Lancashire on the way home. This was, oh, we've got an interview with John Dahl Thomason. Oh, this will be good. And he basically threw the board under the bus. He was sort of saying, yeah, the project changed. I wasn't given. And I agreed with everything he said, but you sort of thought, that's a very, very unusual way of resigning, John. You know, there's no way you can carry on to be in charge of the club. But being Rovers, it took about 4 or 5 days to actually make the announcement. So that week following the QPR game was just bizarre. There were all sorts of rumours going round. There were all sorts of shenanigans going on at Rovers. And then eventually John Eustace was announced on the Friday, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I think we found out on the Thursday was coming, but the Friday was the official announcement. And then under caretaker management of Damien Johnson and David Lowe, we won. We beat Stoke 3-1. We thought, oh, happy days. You know, it's all good again. Yeah, here is our new manager bounce. And then we couldn't get a win under Eustace. It was just so that plummet down just continued. It was just horrendous. Yeah, it was hard to see where the results were going to come from. And then Sunderland.
Yeah, let's get to that bloody Sunderland game. The coupon buster of the season. If you're in that relegation quagmire, you know full well about Blackburn's trip to bloody Sunderland that we're all still pissed off about, Ian. And I can imagine, you know, there's also Plymouth, Stoke, Birmingham annoyed and others feel annoyed about it. But you must be sat there not thinking, get in. You must be thinking, I don't know. I don't know.
Utterly bewildered. Living this side of the Pennines, a trip up to Sunderland was one that I'd sort of earmarked at the beginning of the season. I'd not been to the Stadium of Light. And I thought, well, it's a new ground. It's over a bank holiday. Yeah, let's go. So me and a couple of Sheffield-based buddies were sort of saying, yeah, we'll go up there. So we made a day of it, as we invariably do, and got up there nice and early and had a cooked breakfast and this sort of stuff. So I said, we might as well enjoy some aspect of the day. Let's have a good fry up before we go and get our arses handed to us on a plate. And it didn't happen like that. We actually played quite well. Sunderland allowed us to play. I think they had a 10-minute spell at the beginning of the game where they looked a bit dangerous. But then when nothing happened, they seemed to lose heart. And we strung a few attacks together and scored a couple of goals. And all of a sudden it was like, hang on a minute, we've got a chance here. We can get a result. And as they pressed forward to try and get a goal, that played right into our hands and we just kept hitting them. even though I will say this, yeah, and this is classic Rovers fans, we are singing our lungs out. We're four up. There's about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes to go. What could possibly go wrong? Sunderland score one. And even then, yeah, we're looking at each other. We're not going to give this away, are we? We're not going to lose this one. There was still that element of doubt until the fifth went in. And then when the fifth went in, oh, there's no jeopardy there. I'm just not used to this. This is an unusual set of circumstances. So it was a bizarre day. I'm so glad I went because I've seen some horrendous away days this season. Absolutely awful performances. And that was kind of like payback. So like any fan can point to three or four awful games that you've seen. And then when you win one, it lingers long in the memory. But Saturday was just nuts. Going to Leeds and winning the day after Plymouth beat Leicester the night before.
Stop it. You're meant to be as rubbish as we are. And there you are, beating bloody Leeds and bloody Sunderland because we won bloody Premier, bloody League. Look at us. We're bloody get in the bin. I tell you, but like, so I tell you what I'm hoping for this weekend then, Ian, is, you know, those two results that you've got have kind of dragged you out of it.
You know, it's taken the pressure off massively.
So I'm hoping now that you're going to be on the beach, as they say. I'm hoping now that you're going to think, do you know what? It's just Sheffield Wednesday. They can't, you know, the bloody rubbish, and they've been shite all season. Yeah. We're all right. You know what I mean? What we're doing this summer? Are we going to Marbs? You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping for. Do you feel that that's kind of a danger
it's what I
that
fear.
Could happen?
I have to say, I do think that sense of jeopardy has been massively reduced. Last time we went down with 51 points. Mm-hmm. So we're under no illusions that sat at 49, yeah, we're not quite safe yet. So I think it is mathematically certain if we win on Sunday that we're safe.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd like to see us get a point and get to 50. I think this has all the hallmarks of a draw. Because I think a point would be good enough for us. I think you would probably take a point to keep the battle alive. You know, if Birmingham lose their next game, what's the goal difference? Yeah, you'd only be in on goal difference then. So
yeah, we are trash on goal difference.
Right? I think a lot will depend on who scores first. Mm-hmm. I think if we score first, we're into the potential Sunderland scenario where you've got to come out and attack us. And that gives us our best chance of lobbing a diagonal over the top for Smodics to run onto. If you score first, I fear that we will potentially implode because we've seen that so many times this season.
I was going to ask that because we've had an issue with that, especially the first 14 games under the manager we started the season with, who should not be named. Like, you know, as soon as we concede a goal, that was it.
Yeah,
game's done, game's over. Yeah. It could be three, it could be four. Go home, get a pint. You know what I mean? Beat the crowds, beat the traffic, all the rest of it. Have you suffered from that yourselves then?
Very much so. It was a particular trait under JDT where the style of play that he preferred was very much around using the ball wisely. You know, this is a guy who's been schooled under Dutch masters at Feyenoord, played at Milan, you know, international footballer. And it, to him, knocking the ball around with confidence isn't a ridiculous notion. Mm-hmm. And I think when confidence is high and when you're a goal up, we could do it pretty well. When the pressure was on and a team came and pressed us and we made a couple of mistakes early on, we got the jitters. And confidence, I think this season has been a very, very fragile commodity. And when it went very, very quickly. And that's what happened to us in December. So under Eustace, his game plan has been pretty obvious. Well, let's stop conceding silly goals. The counterpoint to that is, well, we've stopped scoring because everybody's concentrating on stopping silly goals until Sunderland.
And then Sunderland
happened. But Saturday was fascinating because we were terrified. I think it's fair to say, yeah, that the fan base was really, really worried that any goodwill that we'd generated from the Sunderland fixture could disappear by getting a hammering. We got hammered by Bristol City. And so the Saturday game with Leeds, well, if Bristol City can put five past us, Leeds are going to put 10 past us. Mm-hmm. And to play the way that we did with the defensive resolution that we did was totally unexpected. To nick a goal was absolutely delicious, I have to say, absolutely fantastic. And that has made a difference. So which Rovers turns up on Sunday? Is it the Bristol City version? Is it the Sunderland Leeds version? I'm not quite sure what to expect. Absolutely no idea. But if you score first, I think your chances of winning that game go up to about 85%.
Christ! All right, I'll play this for the lads. Then I'll make sure somebody. I'll tag Barry Bannon in it when we.
Attack us from the kickoff. Ten men swarming
hit
into our area
from the halfway line.
Just goal, and that's it. You know, we'll not be quite sure how to react. But if we score first, then then I really do fancy us to pick you up.
Yeah, there's an element of. I mean, a lot is spoken about managers not from this country, and I don't really want to use the term foreign managers, but the British have a culture around what I would call unquantifiable characteristics. You know, a lot
passion,
of the team,
is that what you mean?
Yeah, the stuff that you hear people talk about on Talksport, like you know, Saunders when he's talking about man-to-man management and stuff like that. Whereas you can learn all the stats, you can learn all the fit, you can learn all the tactics, but there's a lot to be said for making somebody feel like they're great. And when you have that first goal go in and your tails are up, you've created your own passion and you've created your own unquantifiable there, right? I don't feel like some of the managers that come from overseas really understand that British mentality to an extent. I mean, obviously, you know, you've got passionate supporters in and players in countries like Italy and Spain. Don't get me wrong, but I just feel like ours has got a lot more nuance to it. So based on what you were saying about getting your heads down, I kind of understand it a little bit, because as you've got John Eustace in, he understands that a little bit more. And when you got him, I remember thinking, shit, that could be a really shrewd appointment, especially with him having something to prove as well.
Yeah.
I feel like that's definitely the way to go. So I tell you what, listen, for the last few minutes, I want you to give me a brief history of Venky's, because we have there's obviously a lot of conversations happening.
This is going to be the longest podcast you've ever done. If we get to
if you could truncate it to a minute and a half, that'd be great. But like
in the beginning, the dinosaurs came. Yeah,
you mentioned him taking about 4 or 5 days to part company with JDT, which is a vast improvement on the 2 years it took him to get rid of Steve Keen. So let's, you know what I mean?
So Venky's in a nutshell. Took us over. No logical reason why they took us over. Still don't understand it. No logical reason from putting 18 million quid a year in. Still don't understand it. Obviously got a sense that they got the fingers burnt. Gradually started to take more direct control. My understanding of the culture at Ewood is you can't order a box of paper clips unless somebody from India says you've got approval. It's incredibly bureaucratic, incredibly slow. I think that counts against us in transfer windows where we can't get decisions. The time difference doesn't help. I genuinely have no understanding as to why they got involved in the first place or why they're still here. They've got massive issues at the moment in India from a legal perspective. So they've been taken to court by the Indian authorities because they bought Gary Neville's old house. You're going to think this is a joke. They bought Gary Neville's old house but didn't declare it as a property purchase in India. So they broke Indian foreign exchange regulations. They did that when they first bought the club. It's only just caught up with them. As a result of that, the Indian government have said, right, we're going to stop you sending any money to the UK. So their regular quarterly payments that paid the bills stopped arriving at Ewood. That meant that they had to go to court to get permission to send money. The first time they went to court, they got permission. The second time the case was adjourned. The third time they went, it's been put back to August. So we haven't had any money from India since, I think, October, November last year, which might explain why we had to sell Adam Wharton in January, and definitely explains why we couldn't sign Duncan Maguire for cash. So at the moment, we have got incredibly wealthy owners that, due to litigation in India, can't send us any money. And we're having to keep the lights on in the UK from our UK operations. So we are as Barasic as a Barasic could be, but for the fact that we sold Adam Wharton. So inevitably, the fans are terrified that Smodix will go in summer. And yeah, the club is dying the death of 1,000 cuts, I think, in that perspective. That's it in a nutshell.
Sweet child of mine, all because Gary Neville moved house. That is, you know what I mean? That is
Gary Neville's super eco home on the outskirts of Bolton. They thought that would be a good UK base. My understanding is they've never even so much as stayed there a single night, but that's caused them all sorts of furore in India because they broke these foreign exchange regulations by putting the wrong reason on the form as to why they were sending the money to the UK.
That is insanity. I absolutely love how batshit crazy that story is. Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure. Before I let you go, I want to talk about a match prediction for this weekend. What do you think?
I'm going for a draw based on the conversation that we just had. Will we be as hungry and as ravenous for it as we were against Leeds? No. I just don't think that will be the case. We've had more injuries since then as well. So we are down to, you know, the Harry Redknapp bare bones, literally, where the replacements for the replacements are now getting injured. So, yeah, if we can put 11 men out and have a bench, that'll be quite good. I'm predicting a 1-1, I think. There may come a point in the game where both sides sort of say, well, this suits us. Yeah, it suits us.
Yeah, I feel like taking a point away at Blackburn isn't the worst thing that could happen. Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure. How do we find your podcast on the X?
We too are on the TalkSport Fan Network, so you'll get our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and Acast as usual. We're on Twitter at brfcs.com, so that's brfcs and dotcom. If you go to the website, brfcs.com, funnily enough, then all our content is housed there. So our podcasts and our forums there. We do occasionally get visiting supporters dropping into the forum to say hi. We do occasionally get visiting supporters dropping into the forum to say sod off. The former is welcome, the latter isn't. We're always happy to engage with away fans. So if you want any inside info on where to park or where to drink, just drop onto our forums and some of the locals will give you some advice and guidance there.
Appreciate that, Ian. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks a lot. See you later.
Cheers, sir. Hello from the other
side. It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Back of the net, Lubosch. Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.